Dr. Pam Peek, New York Times best-selling author and founder of the Peek Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio.
So, Michelle, my parents, yes, as you know, just passed away in the last, you know, probably about 18 months. And they were married 65 years. I'm not kidding.
Oh, my gosh. 65 years.
I know. And then I'm looking at everyone out there and you know, the divorce rate back and forth. And so the whole issue of monogamous relationships pops up. It rears its little head. And we have a fabulous expert, Dr. Judith Eve Lipton, who is a retired psychiatrist, a distinguished fellow of the American Psychiatric Association, and she and her husband of 37 years, Professor David Barish, have produced 8 books and an amazing family. And one of their books is The Myth of Monogamy, Fidelity and Infidelity in Animals and People, in addition to another book called Strange Bedfellows, all about those animals and their lack of monogamy. So, Dr. Lipton, welcome to Her Radio. We're very happy you're here. What's the deal with this monogamy? Is it real? Is this whole issue of, you know, living forever with one person, is this a realistic expectation?
It's a realistic expectation if you happen to be a flatworm called Diplozoan paradoxicum that lives in the gills of saltwater fish. If you're the
I know several of those.
Right.
I think
if
I went out with
flatworm of that sort.
I want to meet one.
You want to meet one. Well, you can look them up. If you're a flatworm, a Diplozoan flatworm, you meet your life partner when you're a teenager. You get cemented together at the chest. Your private parts are right next door to each other, and you're married, or you're mated monogamously till they die. They're the only known example.
Oh, sounds like a ball of fun.
Right. They're the only totally known example of total fidelity in the entire animal kingdom. And if Steubenglass or some marriage company wanted to give people, you know, wedding presents that indicated complete lifelong monogamy, they would have to do Diplozoan, the flatworm. Certainly not swans. Monogamy.
All right, let's run over people here, though. I mean, how does this jump from a roundworm to a person? I mean, we've got women out there saying, is this monogamy thing for real?
Monogamy, you have to distinguish between social monogamy, which means housekeeping, and sexual monogamy, which means who you go to bed with or who you have sex with. No
different.
No culture, no people that are known in any culture have been sexually monogamous throughout history, neither males nor females. Housekeeping, social monogamy, is more common. And most of the time, for example, in the case of your parents married 60-some years, the common parent pattern in the United States anyway is to have social monogamy, maybe for decades, with what we call departures, which are adulterous episodes or mate changing when you actually have other partners, get a divorce, and switch on to another maybe socially or even sexually monogamous relationship. But sexual monogamy, all the scientific evidence indicates that sexual monogamy is not now, quote, natural, never was natural. It's a figment of culture. What's more natural is for people, both males and females, to be interested in multiple sexual partners for different reasons and in different, that men and women want different things at different times in their life. But there's virtually no one I've ever met who had only one, no human who had only one sexual partner in their entire life. Most people go through a phase where they're a teenager, where they date, they hook up, they have partners, they might have early relationships, marriages. Sometimes those are broken up by infidelity. Sometimes it's just mate changing. Then relationship commitments may be the monogamy that are often violated because people promise monogamy when they're getting married and don't realize how strong the wish for multiple partners is. So they just didn't read the fine print.
Well, why do we get married in the first place then? It sounds like marriage is
kind of
a waste of time then.
I think marriage is an old-fashioned effort to manage children and estates and money. At least historically, marriage was a way that cultures identified whose children were whom and where money and power flowed. And so in most cultures throughout the world, first of all, men want to know, because men can't tell without DNA fingerprinting who their babies are. So marriage served men, particularly the institutions like PERDA, which locked women up. Marriage served men by guaranteeing that their babies were their own babies. But marriage also served throughout history. Think about the Habsburgs or the British royalties. Marriage serves as a way to maintain estates, to create empires, to manage property. And even my own children who are getting married are doing it because they need health insurance, car insurance, to manage their joint assets. Marriage is a
Well, can I ask you a question? Legally. You've been married for 37. Well, you've been married for 37 years. And so why did you get married? For those reasons? I mean, if you knew fantastic research, is that why?
Well, when we initially got married, we got married because I had the opportunity to go to Maui to do part of my residency for 3 months. He'd been married before. David had two children. I had one. We were going off to Maui for 3 months, and we thought it'd be a lot easier to be married, to buy a car, rent a house, shared health insurance, than not. So we married really explicitly for the benefits. We were deeply in love, don't get me wrong, and we're best friends. Right. We're like two halves of a computer with two separate hard drives, and that evolved over the 30 years. David and I are almost indistinguishable in some ways. We're not. You're really not talking to Judith Lipton right now. You're talking to the Judith end of the Judy and David coalition. But
yeah, but did you guys ever think about having some of those departures that you described before? I mean,
sure.
I mean, I know I'm getting kind of personal here, but you know what I'm saying. I mean,
and
you brought
it
up.
I think it crosses everyone's mind, doesn't it? I mean,
absolutely.
It would seem to be natural, right?
Sure. I've met really, really cute guys and been quite intrigued. David had a woman in a class once who would sit in the front row and unbutton her blouse and reveal her rather shapely breast.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a woman who needs a smackdown, honey. I mean, we just...
There's a woman who's worried
smack
about her
that
grades
woman down.
And didn't know a better way to do it.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
But, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. People flirt.
Well, you know what a lot of people say is they say you can shop, but you just can't buy. You know, so you see the
cute guys. Oh, you can
guys,
read the menu.
Not, like,
you just
buy.
You just can't
well,
order.
I think that's what David and I have done. We look. We're only human, but we climbed to the top of a mountain one time and signed an 11-page document, and part of that was a commitment not to have sex with other people. We signed it in blood, believe it or not. But that was
Whose
only
blood?
After
no.
we'd been married quite a number of years, and we really
well,
needed
you know,
to
Dr. Lipton,
things.
What you have done is you have given us some, you know, needless to say, provocative information for us to kind of mentally marinate here. Good grief! The name of the book is The Monogamy Myth. And I really want you to read this. Dr. Judith Lipton, we are so honored that you joined us on Her Radio. I'm Dr. Pam Peake, along with Michelle King-Robeson.
And their other book is called Strange Bedfellows. So thank you, Dr. Lipton. You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Stay well.